Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you all here. The name of my lesson today is called, His Name is John. And last week we left off with Mary. She just sang her song to the Lord in praise of her being pregnant with the Savior of the world. I need to backtrack just a little bit. We're going to still be in the book of Luke. Please turn to Luke chapter 1 and go to verse 5. Now, when we were last week, we talked about Mary being at her cousin's house, Elizabeth, and her husband, Zachariah. Well, I want to talk about them two for just a minute because they play a very big role in the whole process of us even being here today in Jesus' life and everything else. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of these were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments, and regularly blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well in their years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was served as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. The first man in the New Testament to have an angel visit him, even before Mary. Standing at the right side of the altar of incense, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." See, he's been praying for a baby for some time now, but he's 90 years old, so he's like, "Well, I guess not. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." So you are to give him the name John. It doesn't say his name is John. "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to drink wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." We talked about that last week. One of the few people that had the Spirit in them, and he got it before he was even born. So he was meant for great things. "Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." They had big plans for that baby. Then, Zechariah says, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." That was the wrong thing to say. This angel was sent from God. It's just the same thing as him talking to God. Whatever the angel tells this man, then that's the way it is. And he'd been praying for a baby for years, as I said, but he gave up. He's like, "Well, it's not going to happen." So then he's 90 years old, and the angel tells him it's going to happen. And he doubted it, and the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day happens, that this happens. And he will not be able to talk until the son is born." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my grace, my disgrace among the people. See, Zechariah couldn't speak anymore, but somehow he was able to communicate to his wife that she was going to have a baby. It was going to be a boy, and its name was going to be John. Verse 31. Small letters. Verse 31. This is when Gabriel is speaking to Mary. He tells her, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." He didn't say his name is Jesus. He said, "You will give him the name Jesus." Let's go over to verse 57. Chapter 1, verse 57. It's in the little blue book in the Bible. So you're looking at it, it says, the birth of John the Baptist. Next verse says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to give him, they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." Then they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Verse 67. This is what Zechariah had to say. For 9 months, he hadn't spoken a word. His son was born. This is what he had to say. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he said to his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in all days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel." That's about 30 years. He was out in the desert eating locusts. But, verse 67. 280. Okay, who just read that? Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. It's the same. You don't have to go anywhere. Let's go over to chapter 2, verse 16. Now this is Mary and Joseph, okay? John the Baptist has been born. Now it's Mary's turn. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. It does not say "and Jesus." It just said the baby. Verse 21. On the eighth day, there we are again. When it was time to circumcise him, Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him, remember we're talking about honor here, it had been revealed to this man by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's quite a promise. But God goes one step further. Now, back to what I was saying on the eighth day. The Jews have a custom. They do not name their sons until the circumcision ceremonies have taken place. So for the first 7 days of a boy's life, he doesn't have a name. So when Simeon went to see Jesus the first 7 days, he wouldn't have been able to call him Jesus. Nobody could have. The eighth day he gets his name, Simeon shows up. He's a happy camper. Verse 25. Now there was a man named Simeon, okay? Verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, he is now Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Mary, verse 28. Mary said, "Would you like to hold my baby, the Savior of the world?" And Simeon responded with, "Behold, the Savior of the world, Jesus, I get to hold him and hug him and kiss him." No, that's not what happened, okay? Verse 28 says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Now that what he just said, what Simeon just said after he was able to hold Jesus, that was what I would call a public prayer. John had people up here a few months ago doing interviews, and I believe it was Sue who talked about public prayer and private prayer. Well, that was definitely a public prayer. Now, I've talked about people in the Bible that God has honored, and people that honored God. Now, there are other people that their names aren't specifically in the Bible, but they have been honored among about as high as you can think of. And that's all of us. All of us that are born again Christians have been honored. You can't compare it to the things we've been honored with. Please turn to John, the book of John, chapter 14. John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, he was talking to his disciples, and they've seen all the things that Jesus did. He healed people, walked on water. But we have the right to, we have the ability to do any of that. Peter walked on water. We can heal people. Okay, but what can we do that was greater than what Jesus ever did? We can lead people to Christ and get them saved. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. I'll give it to you in the King James Version. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's it. It says, if you do that, you shall be saved. Doesn't say walk people across the street or take your bank account and give it to Goodwill or help somebody mow their lawn. It doesn't say any of that. Being nice to people won't get you to heaven. One thing will. That's Romans 10. Ephesians, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. As I said, nothing you can do will get you any closer to heaven than confessing Jesus as Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Amen. And I would just like to close in prayer this morning. And I want to pray specifically for people that we know. And we all know people who do not know the Lord. And let's just pray that the message that we heard today, the reason why God prepared John the Baptist and then sent Jesus, was to offer the gift of salvation. And we all know people who are perishing, who are living far from the Lord, and their life is a mess. And let's pray specifically. And as I'm praying, you think of someone you know that needs to come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's ask that the Spirit of God would just so move in their heart and draw them even closer to the heart of God, that they too will come to that place where they will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and then live for Him. Lord, we were reminded today of some beautiful passages in Scripture of Your redemptive story, Your redemptive plan for humanity. And You, by Your grace, prepared John the Baptist, who laid the foundation for Jesus to come on the scene and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And here we are 2,000 years later, halfway around the world, living in this salvation plan that You established so many years ago. And by Your grace, and only because of Your grace, have we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But we know, Lord, there's still plenty of work to be done. And as Richard reminded us, You have empowered us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, not just in church behind a pulpit, but everywhere we go. We are missionaries in a pagan land where people do not know about Christ and their need for salvation. So, Lord, as we are praying today, as we're thinking, there are people that are coming to our minds that need to know You. And, Lord, we have these concerts coming up next weekend. Really, the whole purpose is to invite people to come and hear the gospel sung and proclaimed. And so help us to take the courage to invite someone to church. Or maybe someone is so willing that we would sit over a cup of coffee with them and open up the Scriptures just as Richard did for us today and show them for themselves the plan of salvation that You established so many, many years ago. That's why we're here. We're not here to just pat ourselves on the back. We're here to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we will see many people and families and individuals, young and old, come to know Jesus Christ through our witness, through our proclamation, and how we live our lives. Thank You for the messages that Richard has brought for us today and last Sunday, and I pray that they will encourage us and empower us to be the people of God You desire for us to be. You are a good God, and we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you. Go with us and empower us to be your missionaries. And all God's people said, Amen.